Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Joseph, glad you're back. Big show. You know, we did Distraction Evolution last week. It was well received and everything. You're back. We are back. We are back together. I'm excited. Very excited.
I'm so excited, man. I'm waiting for so long. I couldn't even log off Twitter. The anticipation was so much has happened. You know, but the last time we did the Distraction, it was in a pre-Danielson versus Kingston world, which is a world I'd never want to live in again. We're in a different place now. But I was wondering, and I know I'm leaving a little bit close to show to me, do you have any like big plans for tonight for my big, you know, big comeback show?
So what I'm thinking is we hype the return, we're back and everything, and then O'Neal comes out.
Why?
Heat, brother.
But like, so we're gonna advertise me, yeah, get people all excited, and then we're gonna just completely go against those expectations to upset people?
Yeah, for Heat.
But why don't we give the people what they want? Why don't we like make them happy to watch the show, you know, rather than making them angry?
Doesn't get heat.
So you're gonna tell me that we're gonna make people wait all of this time, a whole 2 weeks to see me on the Distraction. We're gonna build it up, we're gonna sell out a whole arena, and you're gonna send out Bob O'Neal for heat.
Exactly.
And fuck Bob O'Neal.
And I said, psychosis!
This one's for all the pals. And O'Neal starts to feed from the jaws of victory with the pop gun and the chubby cheese. Distraction. Hey! Podcast. We were filled. Wins and losses, don't mean shit. So what's Joseph Grin? Shares it to his bit. Distraction. Hey! Roll up. One, two, three.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to The Distraction. I'm Robert O'Neal. I'm running the show today. We're going to get into AEW Full Gear that's coming up this weekend. We're going to preview that. We're going to get into the WWE Survivor Series teams. That's something that everyone's really been waiting to talk about. We're going to talk about the Eastern Conference leading Chicago Bulls. But we can just get right into it here.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined by Joseph Ulmer. Joseph, how are you, buddy?
I'm loving that the chat give actual heat for that and was just typing boo and stuff like that. That's good start. Bob's good at intros and outros.
He was tremendous.
Yeah. He does a good job. But, you know, so for those of you who don't know, we did a show last night. I hopped on that with Jeremy and Drew and we talked some Dynamite and stuff. But it really, because we do so many shows usually, this legitimately feels like we haven't done a show in years, which is, yeah. I mean, it's very telling as to what our schedule was beforehand. But yeah, man, this is going to be fun. It's a pretty eventful week from what I can gather. I hear the NWA has officially died, as in the last hour here.
Tony Khan just kicked them in the nuts.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So now there's a lot to talk about, though. I mean, this is, Jeremy, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but this could be in terms of like the balance between commercial success and critical kind of hype within the game. This could be the biggest event of the year, brother. This is a big one. This is a huge event this Saturday. So There you go.
I don't know. I mean, I could be completely wrong. It's not going to have the surprise factor that All Out does. But from start to finish, in ring wise, and the moments that we could potentially get that they've been building, like Cole coming out, Danielson coming out, Ruby, like those were all great surprise factor moments. But the moments that they've been building, legitimately one of them for since the start of the company, going to be something special.
Yeah, it's an incredible mix of a kind of like dream matches, star power. It's everything they've been, you know, I think obviously the main event match is literally that. But like in terms of the roster and where they're at now, this is everything they've been working towards for the last 2 years and change, right? So it's a big one, man. I'm super fired up to see like how they map this thing out, because that is going to be a challenge. When you've got that many matches that the people are going to be into, keeping everyone, you know, position it correctly and keeping things fresh, it's going to be a fun thing to watch play out. I will let it play out. Of course, I do that with the All Elite Fleet, but I'm just excited. We've got a lot to talk about.
We have a – so, Joseph, you might have missed this when you were gone. I missed this and I was here. Something called Humper Chats now. This is, of course, a Sean Ross Sapp thing. If you click the link that's pinned to the top of the chat, you can go there and donate. And that is how we could actually make money, Joseph. Isn't that a weird concept?
So you're telling me that after 2 years of doing this podcast, in order to get money from these great people that watch our show, I have to actually advertise something called a Humper Chat?
Yeah.
I don't feel cool.
JJ sends on, says hello to my favorite big stars. Welcome back from vacation. Hope you're doing well. I'm full gearing up for a big victory lap. Dynamite was awesome. Thank you for all the hard work and much love to you all. Get the link is there at the top. You can go there, send your Humper Chats. I feel so weird saying that.
What happened to this show, man? What happened to this platform? What have we become, Jeremy?
Now they gave us a channel, and I was like, well, fuck, we can't go any more downhill than here. So,
I mean, I agree with that, but yeah. There you go.
You just want to run down the full gear card, start at the top, and
should we? Everything? So, Dynamite was kind of interesting last night, and it wasn't like a formulaic go-home show, which, I mean, of course it wasn't, but it was especially kind of out there, I thought. So maybe we should do that, and then we can kind of lock in, I guess, is what we can do, right?
Well, I wanted to start kind of where Dynamite ended, and it'll lead us to what I think is the biggest topic of Full Gear, and that is Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. Yep. And the closing angle was that contract signing. Like you said, usually it wasn't formulaic. Usually Dynamite closes with a match. Maybe they do some type of deal after the match, but typically it's a wrestling match. This was an actual angle to close the show. One of the rare times they've done that. And I saw a lot of people. I don't know if you were around for it, Joseph. We discussed this on the Monday show. But I saw a lot of people who were like, oh, man, things have cooled down between Kenny and Hangman over the past couple of weeks. Well, I think it was like, we had the cowboy shit promo in the past couple of weeks. We had the reveal for the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And I get that like, you know, it was some goofy stuff, but like that reveal got a huge pop and everything over the past couple of weeks. Like, I didn't feel like it cooled down at all. And like, it's a 2 year story. I thought they were going to knock it out of the park in this contract signing. I thought they did a great job with the time they had. I don't know if things got cut, maybe a little rushed, but I thought in the time they had, both men explained their position very well. And then the Don Callis reveal at the end, because that's always been Kenny's like ace up the sleeve. That's how he got the title, right? Because he had Callis there.
Absolutely.
People forgot about Callis. He returned, and it's like, oh yeah, this dickhead is still here. I thought they killed it with this angle.
I agree. I think the whole thing about cooling down, I think it's really just a case of, with the way that circumstances unfolded with the summer, where it was like red hot, you know, I just think it's more a case of the audience, and I mean this in the most loving way, because it's just, it is what it is, you can't avoid it. The audience is just kind of waiting for Hangman to be champion now. And you're at a point where after he had to fall short in the 10-man in order to go away and do, you know, what he had to do, you're at a point now where you don't want to re-hit the story beat of him falling again. So what last night's segment did so well was, the point of that segment very much was, Kenny's not getting in Hangman's head anymore. He's got it figured out. He's going to win this thing. And you used Callis as a way to get heat without making, you know, without making Hangman kind of fall back again. I think it's as hot as it needs to be. It's just a case of, like, you can't avoid, you know, when it was like reaching its natural conclusion, they had to take a quick diversion. We're back there now. I think my only concern about this whole thing, and I think the match is going to be great, because I trust Kenny Omega in this situation more than any wrestler in the world. He's not going to miss.
No.
And Hangman's obviously a great dance partner, but I have a little tiny concern about the audience still being energetic enough after 3.5 hours. Other than that, I think they've killed it. It's a home run. I loved the two biggest matches on the card, for my money anyway. One is a 2-year arc and the other one is a 2-week angle. I love that. To me, that's PKW and it's all over the place. But no, I think they nailed it. I agree with you completely. That thing had, like, when the microphones were picked up, that segment had like 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. Kenny did a real, because I think Hangman's a good promo and he got a great one a few weeks ago. Kenny, I thought, really locked in and was pretty serious and you know, did a great job with that. So I liked it a lot on the Callis reveal. I mean, bless, man. Dude had a fake beard under a mask. God bless. I was ahead of the game on that one. Like, I was watching my brother and I was like, that's Callis. And I was like, no, he is. No, it's not. And then it was him. I popped myself for that. So I wanted to give myself a pat on the back. But no, I'm excited. But I will say, like, we did the opening bit about heat and stuff. Like, it isn't even that much of an interesting topic at this point, because we both just, like, imagine not having Hangman win, right? There's just no way. Yeah. You can't. It's a formality, and I don't mean that in a negative way, because when the match is underway and Kenny hits the one-winged angel, we're all going to be like, oh, no. That's the beauty of pro wrestling. But as a topic, you've done the job, man. You need to just finish it off now on Saturday.
So this is another talking point of, we all suspect Kenny's going to hit the one wing angel. Hangman should be the guy to kick out. Like, this is the moment you finally do the kick out of that. Because you're right. When he hits that thing, everyone's going to be like, oh, shit. Like, they're not actually going to crown Hangman. And exactly. Then when he kicks out, like, that pop might be bigger than the winning pop.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, because that is going to be a monumental pop.
Yeah, and it's going to be a matter of taking every doubt that's in the audience's mind right at the back there and bringing it to the forefront. And Omega is a master of in-ring drama and all, you know. It'll be epic. I have no doubt about that. I'm really interested to see the match times for on Saturday. Like, I'm fascinated to see which matches have to kind of fall back a little bit and go that 12 to 15 range. That one, you got to believe, is going, you know, 25 and up, right? You got to think, Hangman and Kenny.
What they do last year? I'll look it up right fast.
Oh, that was like a sprint last year, man. They got like 16, 17. And they just, I know it sounds silly, a sprint, but it was. They just did like moves. It was awesome, but it was a very different match.
Yeah, you're right, because I do remember, because I thought last year was going to be this like long sort of epic match and it went short and I remember loving it. I do think this one will be longer, which means other stuff is going to have to be cut at some point. Because they had a lot of matches on this card. I think it's 10, and then they, you know, they added the Cody match last night, so there's gonna be some shorter stuff. And unlike All Out, where you knew that the Paul White QT Marshall match was going to be like a 2-minute thing, I'm looking at this card and I'm like, I don't know what's going to go like 8 minutes here.
Well, I could be wrong on this. I think the wrestling stopped at around 3:45 last time, because they had the angle to shoot afterwards, right?
Right.
So I think it'll be interesting. I think, you know, there's definitely some matches that could work well as a 12-minute kind of, you know, all-out back-and-forth match. I think it's a great headache to have, in that they have so much damn star power on this thing. Like, the Cody tag match should be like an 8-minute just complete bomb fit. Like, just by all of the coolest moves those guys can do, and Cody should blade. But yeah,
it's like a pay-per-view off. He's got to make up for that lost pay-per-view.
I'm fired up, man. Hangman, this is, someone said it, and like, well, not someone, everyone said it. It's the easiest comparison, but it's the right one. It's Starrcade 97, right? I just don't fuck it up, Nick Patrick.
It's gonna be special when Hangman wins this title. Like, this arc is something else. I don't know if you read it, and if you didn't, I understand. But AEW's website posted like the step-by-step of Hangman Page in and Kenny Omega, AEW, Bullet Club, all that stuff. It clocks in. It says, you know, nowadays on website, it tells you how long it takes to like read something. So it's a 19-minute read. It's not a short thing, but it's got videos that accompany it and everything. Like if you think you missed something on this feud, or you just want to recall everything with this feud, because it is a lot. Go to AEW's website. But the fact that like they posted something like this, like they know.
Yeah,
everyone.
It's time. And you know, I think it's really interesting that in a lot of ways this feud is kind of an encapsulation of everything that AEW has become, because you have a feud and a story that basically it can work on the most surface level fashion you want, right? It's the story of a guy trying to win the big one. It's wrestling's oldest tale. There's nothing new to that. If you've watched since AEW start, though, there's a lot more emotional weight to it, because the second pay-per-view, the first title match, Hangman fell short. If you're really deep in, though, and you watch Being the Elite in 2017, 2018, which I can't say I did, you have even more appreciation for it. And AEW has become really, really great at telling stories that can work for someone that just watches Dynamite, but they work on an even grander level for someone that's truly followed these characters through the promotions for the last 5 years. They're really good at that, man. Really good. And I think this is definitely a case of that. Like, I'm somewhere in the middle where Hangman's one of my favorite wrestlers, so I'm absolutely invested. But it's really fun for me when they do, like, Easter eggs that call back to stuff that I wasn't even watching. Because that's, you know, that's how you keep the hardcore fan kind of paying attention and stuff, so... Yeah, it's been a complete triumph. I really have no doubt they're gonna nail it. I think, you know, it's an inevitable. I'm just intrigued to see how much Kenny makes me just terrified during the 20 to 30 minute range of that match when he's hitting 18 V triggers and I'm like, uh oh, you know. But it's a matter of time, brother. It's gonna be great.
Van Twin Blade says the Cubs suck, and Rob Reed says, I think Hangman alluding to Ibushi is further foreshadowing him kicking out of the one-wing angel as Kota is the last person to ever kick out of it. I think he's kicking out of it. Yeah, they've done a very good job of, especially in the bigger matches, of, hey, this guy's never kicked out of this move. Like, no one's kicked out of this move. And so, like, when he hits it, and you know, if Kenny's going to lose, he just doesn't hit the move. People fight out of it. Like the Christian match when he lost, he just didn't hit it. It was just fought out of or countered in some way. I think this is the one where you let him hit it and you do the kick out. Don't have Hangman fight out of it. Just let him take it and then do the kick out. Because again, I think that pop is going to be huge, because everyone, even though the vast majority of their audience believes Hangman's going to win, is like fairly confident Hangman is going to win. This is the brilliant thing about pro wrestling and what AEW has been able to capture. When Kenny hits that move, that doubt is just going to be there.
Hopefully it's done in a way, and I'm sure it will be, because obviously you can trust Omega to hit in this regard. Like, hopefully it's done in a way that's dramatic enough that people buy it as a finish, you know? Like, maybe it's a big counter and it's like people actually are like, that would be a finish in any other circumstance with this one. That would then take it from 10 to 11. So is it your pick for, if I said to you, Jeremy Lambert, you're going to predict the match of the night, consensus match of the night, is this your pick?
I don't think it is. I don't like consensus. I don't know if I have a consensus match of the night, honestly. Yeah, I think hard. I know what you're going as the consensus match of the night. It's probably second, maybe third.
Wow. So what do you think the match of the night is going to be?
I'm torn on the tag team match, assuming they get time, the title match.
So that's my, that's what you assume my pick. Yeah.
Yeah. I assume that's your pick. And I ain't doubting Bryan Danielson. I ain't doubting Bryan Danielson.
Yeah. That could be something, man. I mean, I think people forget, like, the last pay-per-view, King and Miro had an absolute, like, just crazy great opener. It was awesome, that match. By the end of the show, it was like, you know, so much had happened, you could forget it. But Miro is, I mean, he's just frankly way better than he gets any credit for. And that's from people that know he's good. But, like, he's selling. He's top five pro wrestling in terms of selling with commitment and authenticity and believability. So you pair that with Bryan. They established this dynamic where Brian's arm was getting worked last night by Rocky. Miro's obviously got the tape on the leg, which Brian got very excited about on commentary. Brother, I'm with you. I think that thing is going to be incredible. I also think that's going to open.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
Which gives it a leg up in the sense that when the dust settles, they'll have had a fresh crowd. And it's like, the time on that one is like, I think they only need like 15 minutes to have an absolutely tremendous pro wrestling match.
Yeah.
But there's so many options in terms of where you allocate that time. It really is. It's an all-star lineup, man. It has to be the best non-WWE match card in America since, like, the mid-90s. It has to be, right? In terms of a mix of all of the factors you want on a professional wrestling card.
I don't. Is there anything that, like, comes close to it?
Yeah, I don't know. Because now that you've got Punk and Bryan in the game, it's like you've got this star power too, man.
Right.
Yeah, you got like the personal kind of, you know, again, you got the big arc of Hangman and that story and the emotional investment. You've got a heated feud with King and Punk. It's just great pro wrestling stuff.
I think you can add in the WWE stuff. And
right.
The majority of those cards.
The reason I refrain on that is because while I think it's objectively better built than those WWE WrestleMania cards that none of us liked. I mean, if you looked at just the talent and give them to competent hands, I mean, you're talking like WrestleMania one year had Rey and Samoa Joe just got like 2 minutes just as a rib. I don't know what, like, you know, they have a lot of great pro wrestlers on their books the last decade, but I don't think you're wrong necessarily.
That's what I'm looking at is like, okay, they did Rey and Samoa Joe, but was anybody actually excited?
I'm not a pay-per-view guy, you know that, but I think All Out was better than any pay-per-view I've seen, yeah. Let alone, you know, especially in America, because New Japan has their own like way of doing pay-per-views. It's very different, you know? Like, if you're at the halfway point of, like, Dominion and it's just been, like, steady, you're not surprised by that because you know that they back, you know, they load all the title matches at the end. That's the way they format. It's different to American wrestling. But in terms of US, I think All Out's the best pay-per-view I've ever seen. Double or Nothing was great, too. People forget about the Double or the Nothing, Jeremy Lambert. That show was crazy, man. Daly's Place being full again was awesome. So, yeah, my prediction is it'll be the greatest pay-per-view of all time. I think that was the conclusion I got to.
Right? Yeah, I don't know if it'll – it can't have the moments All Out had because
no.
that was something
a special. One-off.
Yeah, and I'll have All Out probably higher regardless just because I was in the crowd for it. We should have been in the crowd for this one, but Tony Khan's a coward.
Coward.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as like, I told you going into All Out, like I wasn't, my anticipation for a lot of that stuff, like wasn't super high. And, you know, it picked up the week of and everything. And I was anticipating Brian being there. I was not anticipating Cole. So were certain things that I was looking forward to. This is just like strictly match quality and just build where I'm like, oh man, they've done a really good job.
Yes.
Even if some of this stuff is not for me and we'll talk about that. But like overall, they've done a really good job building this card.
It's their best build since Revolution 2020 before the pandemic. Which is when they really started, remember when they really started clicking with like they were the TV really locked in. It's the best build they've done in some time. I know that much. It's felt like focused, which a lot we've been a critical of that, right?
Yes. We have.
Now, one of the big things is Kenny's title match has been able to actually be the natural conclusion this time, which last time it couldn't be for certain. You know, we get why. And obviously, the Double or Nothing thing, we both were kind of like, we wasn't with that. It's interesting though because I still think the hottest or second hottest match was built up in the last couple weeks. So you know, it's still a thing where you know you take advantage of how great the talent is. But I think on a whole, most of these matches have been built really well. There are some outliers. There are some exceptions to that rule. But yeah, I think it's going to be a blast. Okay, so should we continue Full Gear or should we circle back to Dynamite? What do you think we should do? Because there's a couple of things on Dynamite that I think are worth talking about.
Things on Dynamite that don't have much bearing on Full Gear?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that then.
I just have to say, that tag match, Dante and Leo, Sydal and Moriarty, brother, that was like a cruiserweight match on Nitro, where the people were kind of like, well, this will be fun. And then by the end of it, Leo won those people over so easily.
Yeah.
He's special, right? Leo Rush is, again, ceiling, we can debate it, but there's something special about that guy, and he's unique. He stands alone. In a world where everyone can do cool moves, There's more to him than that. He has his own complete style. That match was awesome.
Leo moves different, right? Like I'm not sure there's anybody who just moves the way he does. Like, forget all the athletic stuff and everything you can do. Like, just the way the angles he'll take, the innovative stuff he'll do. Like, he's definitely different in an era where a lot of guys do a lot of different stuff. Yeah, we talked about ceiling on yesterday's show, and we both had him at like TNT title. And I think to defend both of us, this is not a knock on Leo Rush at all. This is this roster is absolutely stacked. And it's like, where does Leo Rush break through at some point to get any higher? And look, if they put the world title on him at some point, it'll be a full testament to him of getting over a lot of the people that he would have to get over. But I mean, after last night, it's like, yeah, sure, put the world title on him. But this roster, it's so deep that's why I think we both pegged him at TNT title. It's just like, okay, he has all the tools to be a world champion, but like, are you gonna jump him over Darby, over Sammy, over MJF? Like, are you jumping him over those pillar guys, over Ricky? And then you think about the guys who are there now. Like, are you gonna jump him over those guys? It's like, it just doesn't seem like he's at that level yet, and maybe he never will be, but if he does, it ain't gonna be surprising at all.
He's really interesting in that the biggest challenge that is, like, you know, exists with Leo, I find, is in ring, he is one of the most dynamic baby faces you'll ever see. He's actually like a comic book character. He's incredible. But as a character, he's clearly more compelling as a heel, right? He's a great heel as a promo and stuff. That is his biggest challenge. But what makes him so interesting is, I just checked, he turned 27 today, Jeremy.
Yeah, I know. I knew wasn't old. Like, he signed with WWE when he was like 23 or something.
And that's the thing. You have a guy here who has been visible on the national wrestling scene for like at least 5-6 years, I would say. And it's like, he isn't peaked at all. He could still be a guy at the AEW kind of circle and say, we're going to actually get him to his prime. That's exciting. And then, speaking of such, everyone knows Dante Martin. Listen, folks, if you need me to tell you that he's the future, I don't know what you've been watching for the last year, it's obvious, but Lee Moriarty is, good Lord, what I talk about unique. That guy wrestles, he's hot. He moves his own way too, right? I mean, that sequence him and Dante did, just what a fun, like, to me, that's where AEW's at its best in-ring, is when you can tell it's just guys being able to express themselves and have fun and try stuff. That was basically three young guys pushing the envelope and trying, you know, trying their best to kind of expand and mess around with the whole genre. And it just so happens they're in there with the best veteran they could possibly. And Sydal is like, he speaks for himself. His work's incredible. It was just, again, that's the best comparison I can do, man. It was like a cruiserweight match where it was like, man, these guys are doing stuff that will be influential for years to come. And what's interesting about it is a lot of it isn't innovation in terms of the idea, it's the execution of it. Dante Martin does a sunset flip and it's like, oh my God, right? The height he gets on it. Incredible match. Now, I'll say, great match. Not my favorite match of the night. May not have been my second favorite match of the night because that show last night was loaded on in-ring. Quick point, Jeremy, and we don't need to do too much on this because it was just a match, but Rocky Romero is so good.
Yeah.
And I think there's still people that didn't get that until last night. I hope last night was like the last straw for anyone that's still waiting out there. Rocky Romero take after 20 years. He's incredible. That was such a nice little match. I love that match. And then, in addition, Dax and Pac, brother, you already knew that thing was going to be killer, right? Dax Harwood's a bad, bad man. Pac kicked the shit out of him. It was awesome.
it was killer in the Performance Center 10 years ago, Joseph. That's what Xavier Woods said about it.
It was great. It was stacked, man. The in-ring on that show was incredible.
That top rope, Brainbuster. Oh, man. Just.
That deal made me mad because JR was like, I don't know who took the worst of that. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
Dax landed on his head.
Yeah.
Listen, man, it's a credit to the show that you could argue for any of those three matches your favorite of the night. I'd be like, I'm cool with it. I liked the trios match with the women. I liked Bowens and Jungle Boy. Obviously, Wardlow was an awesome squash. But, like, the five matches that were, like, of substance, they were all good. It was a really unconventional go-home show because the storytelling, other than the main event segment, the storytelling had mostly been done. They'd done their job. It was almost like TK flexing on the absolute depth of it, man. It was
incredible. Who the real star of Dynamite was, though, last night.
Eddie Kingston when he did that run.
Did you see I gift that?
No, but I saw a lot of it. I didn't know it was your work, but it was incredible. And the best thing was he did the run. It was funny. And then they did a long shot and he was still miles away from Punk.
The real star was Matt Hardy on Twitter with his videos. Oh, yeah. Bless that man. You have to say his name with reverence, Joseph.
Brother, see, here's, and I know it sounds like a bit with Matt Hardy stuff. If you're not into Matt Hardy, I get it because I've been there. Broken Matt stuff I didn't like. But it is a great message to everyone involved in the promotion. Frankly, everyone involved in whatever they do. Here is Matt Hardy, okay? He has been in professional wrestling for 30 years. And he has been given this that he's going to sit in the crowd and then he's going to shoot an angle in about an hour, okay? He could very well have just sat there, got ready for his couple camera shots and shot the angle and it'd been fine. That was his job. That's what he's paid for. This lunatic sends like 5 videos where he's screaming into his phone. And like, to me, that's why Matt Hardy is still a thing.
Yes.
Because he's so committed to his role in professional wrestling, whatever that role may be. And look, I'm not saying the Orange Cassidy feud is winning feud or anything. I think it
should have ended a long time ago.
Yeah, it's very, very flawed. So like, I'm just saying that's why Matt Hardy will always have a place as long as he wants one. Because that dude doesn't half swing, brother. He's for the fences every time. Them videos, he started one of them with All Hell, which was incredible. The new thing of Say My Name with Reverence is an all-timer. Tremendous stuff, man. He's fun. I think he's good TV. I don't need him wrestling very often, but frankly, he doesn't wrestle all that often, does he?
No.
As long as we get that 25-minute match with Okada, I mean, you know.
Were you disappointed that Okada wasn't there last night?
No, I didn't expect him to.
I didn't either. Yeah. And this is the thing with AEW is like people will really work themselves on this stuff. Just because Tony Khan said Okada's name and Ishii's name, they're like, oh, that means they're showing up. They're in America. They're coming to America for Saturday. They're definitely going to show up. And maybe they will over the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect them last night. And a big reason was the focus had been on Full Gear. Yeah. And if you do Okada, Ishii, if you do anything like that, you take the focus off of Full Gear, even slightly. And Tony was never going to do that.
Mm-hmm. So this is a scoop. I'm going to give it to you, okay? I heard they had Okada booked. And they went through Gedo, and they, you know, Rocky Romero was the kind of middleman there. And he was like, what do you think? You know, I'm not going to Dynamite. I said, why? He said, I'm spending the next 3 days watching Bud Matt footage, front to back, watching every professional wrestling match Bud Matt has on film. And I don't want to break news like too aggressively here because you know, that's not my gig. I'll leave Sean to do that. But there's a lot of talk in the industry that he's terrified about what's going to happen on Saturday night because the word among the boys is that you think Kenneth Omega hits hard, you ain't been in there with Bud Matt in a quiet building in America, brother, because – that dude, he'll make some noise. So, yeah, I just want to put that out there. You can run that story, guys. Go ahead.
Let's run down Full Gear. We kind of talked about Danielson and Miro, but to circle back, Miro winning?
It feels like Miro being involved is a clue that he's winning because it feels like the archetype they wanted was badass heel destroyer in Jon Moxley. And, you know, Miro is the like-for-like replacement. I mean, if Brian was winning the tournament anyway, I don't think you put Miro in, personally.
Yeah.
He's become a fascinating one because – and Eddie's like this too. And when they had a feud, they did their whole feud this way. It's like you got all these guys you need to get on TV. And with Miro, you just go, okay, you got 1 minute pre-tape. That's all he needs. He needs 1 minute of TV time every week, and he can wrestle once a month, and he'll be cool. Miro's winning. Yeah, I think so. Now, when the Hangman match happens, Jeremy, is very interesting because it could be Battle of the Belts. That's a while away, man. That's like 7 weeks, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if they're – I still think it's – I think the timeline is still going to be relatively the same because I thought Moxley was going to get the match at Winter is Coming. I think Miro's going to get it. Don't want Jerry's coming. And then Miro's going to lose. He's going to punch God in the face.
Oh, God bless. Could we get CJ this Saturday night in Minnesota? What do you think?
I don't think so. I don't.
Coward.
Because I kind of think like CJ is the God.
Oh, hell.
Like, I think that's kind of what it is. It's like, that is the God. And so he needs to get knocked down again and bring her in as is like, why have you done this to me type of thing.
I listen.
That's legitimately where I think this is going. I think CJ is the God. That is who he worships, Joseph.
I know, but I'd be very careful about pitching that to CJ because I don't want to take it too seriously from an acting perspective and like start method and I could see it going poorly. No, I think it could be I've always said this. Like, people are terrified of that stuff because of what it looked like on the other channel, Jeremy. But, like, if she's just with her husband, I think that could be a pop. I really do think it'd be fun. Now, what you just pitched is a little bit more scary. I'm going to be honest, that'll take some time for me to adjust to. But I don't mind. I think, to be honest, the actual pop to me is her just being a character that you never see or meet. Speaking of such, quickly, what do you think is going to happen with the Bobby Fish thing? Are we building to Undisputed Era versus the Elite?
Or is it a diversion? We're building towards Bachelor Adam Cole, where they fight over this man's love. I can't.
It could be, man. I have to say, Bob Fish is like, he's so tremendous for angles like that, where he just comes across like just a horrible piece of shit, doesn't he? He's like standing there. He's doing the old wrestler thing where he's like running through his hands. He's nodding his head like he's going to beat someone up. He's tremendous, man. I thought we were going to get the Christian Cage match, though.
I thought so, too, because we've seen – they've done this six-man, right? They did it at Arthur Ashe.
Right, but, I mean, I thought we were going to get that also. I think it's what we were supposed to, but they had, you know, that's tying it because of the amount of matches. But, I mean, I thought Friday we were going to get Christian and Bob Fish. Oh, and then I thought about it, and I was like, well, it's the next night. Christian's, you know, probably not as well-suited to wrestling that much as Jungle Boy is. So.
Jungle Boy is, like, fine. When Big Dick Bob Fish came in there, kicked the shit out. What's his name, Joseph?
He just, you know what popped me was the WWE backstage skit where he was like, let me introduce you to Bobby Fish. And Bobby was just standing right there. Like, he was just waiting the whole time. I was so glad that the Young Bucks wasn't like, oh, I've never met Bobby Fish. Because, of course, that's how it should be. But they're like famed rivals. Red Dragon and the Young Bucks wrestled a lot of matches. Yes. So them being like, fuck this guy, that was good. Which way it goes, I don't know. That'd be interesting.
It was a nice you called it a WWE backstage skit. It was like, hey, let me introduce you. Just standing there. And then at the end, like they all just like go separate ways. Yes, and they're like, where are we going? It's tremendous.
Oh, it was done on purpose. They're complete, you know. 100%. Let's not get it twisted. That could be a complete one-off where Bobby wrestles Jungle Boy and loses. And all Tony Khan wanted to do was get this picture of those two on screen with each other. It could be. Mm-hmm. That was basically Tony getting his dick out on TNT and being like, here we are. Undisputed Era, huh?
He knows Kyle's coming in December.
But you can do – look, here's the thing. You can put Kyle back with Bobby without linking them full-time to Cole, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Kyle, I've always said, we've both agreed all along that you sign Bobby knowing full well we've got Kyle coming, we've got a top team on its way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the link with Cole could not be a big deal at all. It could just be like Tony Khan popping himself. Like when he booked – Ty Conti versus Santana Garrett as a head-to-head match.
I mean, he's popping himself, but he's also building something with that. They're going to do this battle for the love of Adam Cole with the Bucks and Undisputed Era and Steen. It's going
to
be
great. We need to talk desperately about this, okay? So Tony Nese is all elite, and I've got love for Tony Nese. Kalisto got booked. Bud Matt still waits. The Undisputed Era, all but Roddy Strong being an AEW, is like, and I know it's no one's fault. I'm happy for Rod Strong, but that feels like a rib on me, Jeremy. I'm going to be honest with you. Feels like a lot of this stuff's a rib on me, frankly. Very excited for him to sign everyone from the latest cuts other than Ember Moon to really seal the deal. just dunking on me violently, but yeah. I'm excited for it. I love that deal. I think Jungle Boy and Bobby Fish will be pretty damn good, actually. Rampage is... You know, depends how excited you are for Matt Hardy and Orange Cassidy, I guess. That'll probably rate well, though, won't it? That'll probably do, like, 15 million views.
They're going to announce one more match for that, right? A women's match, because they don't have a women's match for that show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really weird the way they're holding off Ruby and Chris. And I almost think they're going to, like, put them in a major spot on next week's Dynamite.
I would say I think that's going to be next week's Dynamite.
But do you not? Do you think there's a chance? I really think there's a chance that they, like, on the pay-per-view, on All Out, they did this deal where before the last match, they were like, this was coming on Wednesday, and they did a couple promos. I wouldn't be surprised if they were just like, you know what? Ruby and Chris are going to main event Dynamite on Wednesday. It wouldn't shock me, man. I mean, I'm not saying I predict it necessarily, but it's interesting. They've given them like three vignettes now, or at least two. I know for sure they've done two. So, yeah, that'll be fun. The buy-in match, you know. I wish the woman stuff had a little bit more, a little bit more kind of, a little bit more meat on the bone in terms of story. But like, that's the thing we talked about last night. It's kind of frustrating to me because they've made progress. But now, like, Brit stuff is missing for me. And it's like, man, that's strange. The match was good. It's just there's no story there.
I feel like they've taken the mic out of Brit's hands, which...
It's just she cuts very short ones, so you don't even notice. That's what it actually is. Because remember when she got hurt, she would do those ones on, like, the ramp?
Right.
Where she had the crowd. She, like, almost exclusively does backstage.
Just backstage stuff, exactly.
Yeah, and they're kind of in a promo territory, sorry. They kind of go under the radar. Like, I would know because, you know, with Fleet Files, I rank the best promos.
Yeah.
And almost every week with Brit, like, it was fine, but, like, there's not a lot, you know, there's not a lot to sink your teeth into, unfortunately.
Right. I mean, some of the material hasn't been great either.
Elephant in the room that I was going to avoid, but yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, yeah, the women's match, I mean, it's the least anticipated match for me.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Oh, yeah. True.
It's the audience. Generally, it's the least, yes, because they're into the Inner Circle thing. Like, crowds love that shit, so whatever.
They do. They really do. Yeah, the women's match. But, I mean, Tony paid for the NWA, so it's okay if he's not given full build to this women's title match.
Owned.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Inner Circle against the Men of the Year and American Top Team. We like a lot of these performers. We don't like this.
It needs to end. Feud. Yeah, I said it. I thought last night's segment was good because they didn't, you know, they didn't do an in-ring promo, and him powerbombing Jericho was objectively funny. It was fine. Look, man, it's the thing with this. The only thing I'll say is this. Everyone knows where I stand on it because we've talked about it enough. It's been running for like 2 months now. I don't like it very much. Be careful, though, in using your only line of defense being like the crowd's into it.
Yeah.
Because Jeremy Lambert, you and I have reviewed some shit that the crowd was into on the other channel. We did not like it very much, you know? Now, you haven't done that. I haven't done that. I think there is an argument this match will actually be fucking hilarious. I'm going to be honest with you. I could see it being very, very outlandish and kind of stadium stampede-ish. And I don't hate the angle. I think it's a waste of those involved. Some of the content is really bottom tier. Do I think it's the terrible, most terrible, worst thing I've ever seen? No, not at all. Frankly, I don't. But I'm looking forward to it being over. That's the actual most honest opinion I give. I'm looking forward to the guys I enjoy moving on. And, you know, someone in the chat mentioned the TNT title. I'm looking forward to that moving on, to be quite honest with you. So there you go.
So we kind of touched on it last night, is where Sammy Guevara got the TNT title, and he did a couple of defenses, and it looked like he was, I mean, coming out of Double or Nothing, he was kind of the breakout guy coming out of that show, and it looked like he was going to be on for a big singles run, and he got the title, and then he gets put back in with this Inner Circle stuff, and yeah, you just kind of forget Sammy is the TNT champion, and I think that's been disappointing. They're also doing, you know, this is a street fight. And then they got the Falls Count Anywhere match. I imagine this match will be more smoke and mirrors than Super Click and Christian Jurassic Express. This will be much more. Do you think they fight at Mall of America?
I don't know. I just want to be clear because I don't want you to give a take here that you don't understand by. Are you suggesting the match of Andre Arlovski, Junior Dos Santos, and Dan Lambert is going to have slightly a few more smoke and mirrors? Slightly.
I mean, they got to protect. They got to protect Christian a little bit. Like, I don't know if he can fully go.
He ain't Dan Lambert, brother.
They can. They got to do a little bit of smoke and mirrors with Christian in there.
No, you know, I'm with you. I hope they take the kind of comedy approach. I know there's some people that would be mad because it's a blood feud, but like, who could possibly really take it seriously?
Is this a blood feud? I mean, I guess it is with the stuff they've been saying.
So you and I know, because we roll our eyes at it, but like, there is a chance that Jericho's taking it very seriously, and he's like, this is going to be...
Oh, there's 100% chance that Jericho's taking this seriously.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it being over. What's my take?
Do you think it's going to be over this Saturday, though?
Yeah, I do. Well, no, I think... I said last night, I think Scorpio's getting the TNT title. So I think that'll be the men of the years out, so to speak. But I think as far as Dan Lambert, my hope is that this is the end. I don't know, but, you know, I hope. I'm just being... I thought Arthur Ashe was going to be it.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Have you heard the story about Tony Khan's friendship with Dan Lambert, how they met and how
I would
Dan
rather
Lambert's
not hear that.
Big wrestling fan?
I'll be honest here, I don't know a lot about Dan Lambert, and I think my enjoyment of him is at its higher. The more I know about him, I think it would probably diminish, so I'm going to just leave it at that and move on. What else we got to talk about, Jeremy?
The tag team title match, what I believe is going to be the match of the night, Lucha Bros against FTR. It's going to be really good. It's going to be really, really fucking good.
Yep, need about 20 to 25 for this one. The phrase I used... Sorry to hear that. The phrase I used before was NXT TakeOver Revival. My only concern now is that poor Dax is okay after last night's match because he was getting beat up, man. That was brutal, that match. Really violent. FTR, they've never felt more at home in AEW than they have this last couple months. I would say from the Arthur Ashe match with Sting and Darby forward, they've been fabulous. The stuff they're doing on these YouTube shows, Jeremy, incredibly good. Dax Harwood is the best TV champion that will never be TV champion in wrestling. Cash Wheeler's damn good too. They're a great team. I'm really intrigued about the result. As I said to you the other day, I do think there's a chance they'll win the belts. But I'm going with Lucha Bros in a classic. Listen, I put my neck on the line. I think they're the second and third best tag teams in the world. In-ring belt to bell, in terms of their body of work plus their ability. So there's no reason this shouldn't be great. Even though I didn't love their match on Dynamite last year, I actually remember being frustrated by it. Why is Robert O'Neill in the chat, Jeremy?
I was going to put that on the screen.
Yeah. Coward. I agree with them, though. They're like, anyone that said those guys were washed when they left WWE, what an absolute fucking buffoon you turned out, but you know.
I love their YouTube matches because, like, they're great, but they just do shit to, like, pop themselves and everything, and, like, that's what makes them even better.
They play around with, like, the formula. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That week when they showed up, and I forget the young man, the big Samoan kid who looks incredible, and you could tell that they just was like, oh, this could be fun. So what we're going to do is we're going to work a match where we can't do anything to him, but his partner is like, we can beat him in a second. Yeah. So they built to the little guy making the hot tag. He comes in, shatter machine, big rig, and they go home. It's great. They do a lot of stuff like that. You know, like the one they did with Waving Curls?
Yeah.
Where they built to a hot tag that didn't exist because they just played dead and then pinned him. It's just great. Like, I love stuff like that, man. And that's what those shows are all about, is letting great pro wrestlers just have fun as being great pro wrestlers. FTR, appreciate and enjoy FTR while you can. They're a special team. Now, we've had our opinions on Young Bucks. I ain't getting into that whole thing again. They're all great. But, like, these are some of the greatest teams ever. I really believe that. So, enjoy the ride, brothers. It's going to be fun.
I think I'm at 45% now on FTR winning. Like, I was at about 40 last night. It's increased. I could really see it. And I'm obviously not mad at it. I think it's going to be an excellent match. I do worry about how much Penta is going to like sell and everything. And there is a big styles clash in this match. And their last matches were good, but nothing that made me believe this is going to be a match of the year contender this year. So that's why I don't think I'm as high on it as you are.
Well, you could be right on that. I remember about you know, 14 months ago, us sitting here, and I said very similar things about Hangman and Kenny versus FTR. And that match was cool. It was a good match. It was a little long, and it struggled with that crowd. So there were circumstances against them. So I've been wrong before. You know, guns to my head, I'm always going to just predict the FTR guys are going to kill it. Same with Lucha Bros. But I'm pretty confident in this. I think Lucha Bros have been really especially great as a team since they reunited in, what, June or July, whenever that was. So
yeah,
I'm very excited. That's actually the match that, you know, I don't want to say most is like, that's silly. There's too many to say that. But like, I, as I said, I think it'll be the best match tonight in ring, personally. Maybe a hot take, but that's where I'm at.
Cody Rhodes and Pac against Andrade and Malakai. This is a match that you said go like 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A bunch of moves. Cody gets the victory all there.
It's fine. I think it's definitely sank interest into this dynamic with Malakai being friends with all these guys. It's kind of weird, and it feels like saying that he would shoot down. So him not shooting it down is encouraging to me because it means he has some sort of story, you know, explanation and lore and such. But the match will be good. I mean, it's four great pro wrestlers. Well, no, I'm not even going to do the Cody joke. Cody's great. No, man.
Cody rolls. When he came through the crowd last night while everybody was
on. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. An arm was behind him. What were they doing in the I don't know, man, but it popped me. It popped me that they did the lighters out just for them to be standing with FTR. It's like, I don't know, Andrade has the magic powers now too.
Right, like that's a weird one because what happened to the Pinnacle?
That's a thing.
Yeah, I get it's a thing.
And that's why FTR winning the belts is a real deal. Like I could see a world in which they win those belts or something happens on Saturday and MJF comes in for like the big victory lap and they're like, we spent 6 months just being like your bodyguards. Since we hooked up with Andrade, we've been winning, doing nothing but winning.
Yeah,
I mean the same too. That man. Do you remember the segment they did on Rampage about a week or so ago when MJF took the cut? He took the money and like was like Pinnacle for life, and they were like, "I mean, there's something to that." Now, whether you like that faction, whether you like the faction of Malakai Black, Andrade, and FTR, I don't fucking know. Sure, I'm with it. But
it's the Paul faction, the Triple Paul faction, right
there. So if it's a rib, I'm with it. You know, that's the way it goes. The rules.
Speaking of MJF, we get him and Darby Allin. Most of the stuff has been like fine. I could live with a lot of stuff that MJF says. I like Darby. I think he's very good. This is another like kind of styles clash match for me that I just don't know how this is gonna look.
Pretty bullish on this one, Jeremy. I must say, I think MJF has been really good in this feud. I don't disagree with you. I think there's times where he kind of gets this little bit try hard, but generally I think he's done a really good job of, I don't want to say carrying the feud because that makes it seem like Darby is doing less than he should. It's more a case of with their skill sets, MJF has to lead the dance program wise, right? Yeah. He just does. That's the way he is. Darby's been great in everything he's been asked to do, but I think he's done a great job of that. This week, obviously it was hurt a little bit by they didn't have an angle, which I don't think was a mistake. It makes it kind of fall to the back of your mind. To finish this one, man, you talk about one that's hard to predict. Like, both of these dudes lost on the last pay-per-view to older guys. And there's nothing wrong with it, but they did. You could believably do the finish where Darby sticks to his instinct, sticks to his guns. Like, you know what? I have you beat, but I'm going to try and do some crazy shit. And he loses kind of going out on his sword, right? Like a Wanderlei Silva being caught in an exchange, Jeremy, you know, back in the olden days. Or, alternatively, you can do a deal where MJF expects him to do that and Darby just pins him, catches him with a roll-up or a pinning combination or something and out-wrestles him. Either way, I think there's a great story to tell there. I think the actual feud will probably end with, like, Sting and Darby versus MJF and Spears or Wardlow would be my guess.
Go ahead.
No, I just was going to say, so that makes me think MJF's going to win here and Sting and Darby will get their win there. That was my kind of,
Yeah, that's where I was going as well is – Darby does do some dumb shit that eventually costs them in this match. MJF wins. You do MJF and Wardlow against Sting and Darby. That's when Sting and Darby wins. That's when you potentially do the Wardlow-MJF split as well.
There you go. Yeah, there's there's a lot going on with that Wardlow thing. They've been building to that for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And not even in a bad way. Like, I think Wardlow is always great when they ask him to do those things. Like, they're hard to pull off in a way that doesn't kill your aura. He does a great job with that. But I'm kind of, I think I expect more from the match than you do, but I get your concerns.
I think it'd be fine. Both guys are good. It just there's a little bit of a styles clash there that I'm just a little bit worried about.
That's fair. No, I get it. It's one of those ones that doesn't immediately click where it's like, I know exactly what that will look like. I understand that. But I think they're going to do a really good job. I think placement will be important for this one.
Bayern, Nyla and Jamie, Conchita and Thunder Rosa.
Sure, it'll be good. I'm not going to sit here and pretend it has any real... like, it's a thing that's happening and it'll be a good match. And I'm glad those women are on the show because they deserve to be. But, like, you know, it is what it is. It's just a match for the sake of a match, unfortunately. So
that'll be good, though. That's full gear, everybody. Should be a great show on Saturday.
I mean, I know we I know we talked about the Mad King Eddie Kingston versus the cult personality, the straight edge superstar CM Punk last night, but you're not going to do that to me, Jeremy. He run like you see him running last night.
Yeah, I saw him running.
Can you put that on the screen? Is there any way we could do that? There's no way, right? It's a GIF.
You know what? Hold on.
Okay, you do that. I'm going to just talk about this. All right, guys, I went pretty deep on this deal last night. So I, in all fairness, Jeremy, I don't have a lot to add. I think it's an interesting conversation about the finish because Eddie Kingston, just every pay-per-view convinces everyone he's going to win these matches. Pops me tremendously. I just would like to reiterate that here you have two of the greatest promo guys in professional wrestling history. Two guys with a rich history that have never shared a singles match. Two guys that have parallels but complete contrast, that have completely different personalities, that are completely at odds with each other in every which way. Dude that wears his heart on his sleeve and is aggressive and completely outwardly flawed. And the guy that has kind of the complex of thinking he's always got the answer to everything. And it's just fucking perfect, man. This can't end at Full Gear, can it? Let's be honest, Jeremy. It would be promotional malpractice to never go back to this dynamic. There's money on the table here. You got to let this thing, whatever your finish is on Saturday, I don't mind. I don't care. I'm just saying you need to leave it where there's more story to tell. There's too much promo content that hasn't been touched yet. These dudes are just getting started, bro. But this is going to be something fun. Now, where are you at on the match with this? Because I've seen some takes, Jeremy Lambert. Now, here's where I'm at, to be clear. Like, I think Punk hasn't missed since he came back. He's had good matches. He may not have had, like, the classic, but I've really liked Punk's matches since he came back. I see no reason that him and King shouldn't have a really damn good match. I don't. But there's some people that are saying it's going to be bad because, you know, narratives and discourse and all that stuff. I don't know. Where are you at on it? How confident are you in the in-ring?
I don't know why it would be bad.
Right? I agree. Because, I kind of didn't want to give that. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, if nothing else, like, they're just strong professional wrestlers. And they know exactly what they're doing in there. They're not gonna do anything like too crazy. At the very minimum, they're not doing anything too crazy to reinvent the wheel and whatnot. So, like, how is this going to be?
Eddie's really interesting that he definitely still has this perception of, like, and then the bell rang, and it's like, I've never got it, but in AEW especially, it seems really wild to me. Like, am I the only one that's seeing the matches dudes having in AEW? Like, I get Bryan Danielson have a great match for anyone, but, like, let's not pretend that was some, like, carry job. That match was incredible. His work against Miro, as I said, was great. I don't think Eddie's let them down in a big spot once. I think it's more a case of the way that he wrestles and the way that he looks makes people assume he's like this. I think, I'll be honest with you, man, especially if they go on relatively early, because I think the heat is going to be electric if they do. That is incredible. That's so great. I completely agree with what you said there in the sense that because it's going to be so meat and potatoes and, like, raw ingredients and just, like, here is what it is, bare bones, I don't see any reason it won't be really good. It's just going to be two great pros selling and beating the shit out of each other. So,
yeah.
They're going to be trying any elaborate sequences. You know, it's going to just be a damn professional wrestling match, brother.
I don't think they're going to do, and they're not going to reinvent the wheel or anything. I don't think they're going to go too far outside of any type of comfort zone here, but there's nothing wrong with that because they're both just damn good professional wrestlers. So it's going to be, like, a lot of people saying it's going to be like an All Japan fight. It's just going to be a brawl. Like, yeah, they're just going to kick the shit out of each other.
Now, what's the finish, Jeremy?
This is where a lot of people seem to be torn because a lot of people think that Kingston should win. Like, he needs this win. Punk's got to lose it sometime. And others are like, well, and I'm still leaning on Punk because the story of Eddie is just, like, He just doesn't win these matches. Yeah. And that's okay. Like I've said, 2-5 in singles match on TV and pay-per-view since last year's Full Gear. No one gives a shit. And they're all still hyped for his matches because he makes you feel something when he talks, and he's competitive in all these matches. It's not like he looks like an idiot in all his matches. It's not like he's on television every week looking like an idiot. So he can lose and be fine. That's still where I am at. There's been a lot of support for Eddie, though. And I know there are ways you can go with it where Eddie wins, and then you can start that CM Punk heel turn that we're all clamoring for.
It's really interesting. As I said last night, it's a credit to King, because if you'd have told us 2 weeks ago this is where we'd be at, you'd have been insane, right? Well, Kingston going to be Punk's first loss. Good one. But I will say that while I think Punk will, and in my deep, if I'm being honest with myself, probably should win, because Punk is a big-time star, and he's just got there, you know? I think we can all agree that in terms of the actual story, the more interesting route is Punk losing. Now, that doesn't mean he should necessarily. The story can simply be that King, you know, Punk had this truth to what Punk said, and King is going to, at the end of the day, he'll let himself down. He'll lose the match. And he kind of loses his way again. And there's a story there that you can tell, and it'll be fine, because Eddie Kingston's one of the great talkers in pro wrestling history. It'll be fine. But I do think we all need, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves and saying there's nothing wrong with collectively agreeing that, like, it's way more interesting if Eddie wins. that doesn't mean he should. But, like, for example, a story where Kingston beats Punk and Punk does this kind of, like, he kind of pretends that he's cool with it, but he, like, has an excuse for all turns, you know? Like, he's like, you know, congratulations, Eddie Kingston, but this, that, and the next thing. And people are kind of like, that's kind of bullshit, right? Like, I like the element of Punk where I really like the element of Punk where, like, the audience loves him, but he has this way where he says stuff where they're like, well, I don't know about that, you know? Like, he, you know, that promo he cut on Rampage last week was great, but, like, when he did the thing where he goes, you know, you let yourself down to Eddie, and it's like, there is objectively, like, Kingston would agree there is truth to that. Like, Eddie was his own worst enemy. But the audience doesn't want to hear that. They're like, no, fuck you, man. leave King alone. So there's this great dynamic where, like, neither of them, they're both very flawed. And you know me, Jeremy, I hate shades of grey. This is an exception. These two are two of the great talkers, because you can let them do what they want to do. But, like, this dynamic where you have, like, King is objectively, like, a flawed person, and he's a dude that, like, he basically made this thing happen by just getting really angry at losing a match to Bryan Danielson. But the audience is with him because they're kind of like, even still, though, you don't need to come out and, like, beg the guy for an apology, you know? It's not that deep, Phil. So there's so much here in terms of content, and, like, they're not going to be able to get it all in without blowing it before Saturday. So they just, whatever happens, I need to see more. And that could come next summer, that could come in 2 years, whatever it is. This is a feud that's special. You need to be aware of that, because look at the hype they've created, Jeremy Lambert, in two segments, three segments if you count last night, which wasn't even real. It was just a thing. It's damn special, man. Who'd have thought we'd be here, Jeremy? Who'd have thought it?
Punk can still go heel with a victory, though, if you basically do the I told you so type deal. Because the crowd doesn't want to hear that either. They're like, okay, you won.
For sure. Yeah.
Cool. Like, they love Eddie, man. They do not want anybody burying him or speaking ill on Eddie Kingston. So I think somebody in the chat said it last night that, like, you can almost double turn. I don't even know if it is a double turn because Eddie is a baby face, but, like, you almost just turn Punk heel in this match just by doing this match, depending on how you're going to lay it out and the follow-up to it, because the layout is obviously very important, and I think that they're going to have a good layout for it. The follow-up is how you're establishing Punk, on which side you're putting him on.
Exactly.
Win or lose, whatever his first promo after that win or loss is, that'll be, okay, this guy's still happy-go-lucky Phil, or that'll be, all right, there's some bitterness and some bite to him now.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm glad you pulled me out on that, because to be clear, when I say that Punk losing is more interesting, I'm wrong for that. You're right. What I mean is Punk being the kind of moral loser, where he has to take a shortcut, he has to do something that isn't babyface, is the most interesting, right? Like, the idea that Kingston doesn't just lose flat is what I'm referring to. You're correct. But there's a lot of play here. There's a little bit of Brett and Austin, right? A little bit of that where it's like Punk's kind of, what the fuck did I do wrong? You know, but I can't wait, dude. I'm so excited for this thing. What a card. Seriously, like we're all scared of being hyperbolic and we all want to come on and be like, well, it's not perfect. And it isn't. It's professional wrestling promotion. But holy shit, Jeremy. When we started this pod, I was like, you know, AEW seems cool and all, but like talent-wise, I didn't think it compared. Look at this lineup. It's not even been 2 years doing this dumb podcast. It's incredible.
Hugh Janice says, All Out will be remembered as a more important show historically, but the card for this show is much better, in my opinion. Drew Nicholas was on the show with us yesterday. Go to youtube.com/FightfulDistraction. Drew was there. We talked a lot more AEW, some WWE stuff as well. Drew says, I love how the elites are wrestling on the show and we don't see it as the top match. This shows you how much they are dedicated to doing great stuff with what they have. It's not just about the same couple of faces on TV every week. And Van Twin Blade says, put the TNT title on Dante.
They'll get there eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah. This is, we talked about this, like, might have been on a late night grin show, where like they've got like their pillars now, which is essentially the elite guys and Hangman, Cody, Moxley, those guys. They've got their four pillars that they've openly talked about on television. Mm-hmm. And then they've got like the four pillars below that, who I think we agreed was Lee, Dante, Garcia.
Yeah.
And who was...
We was on Lee Johnson. We had Yuta was there. We had a couple guys. We were kind
of I think Yuta was like the quote the fourth of there.
Yeah,
Lee Johnson is there and like almost a peripheral. Like Ricky is a peripheral to the four that they mention on TV. I think Yuta was the actual fourth. But like Dante is like, and this just speaks to the depth of this roster. It's like they actually have four guys right now who are still young and everything, and like could. I mean, one is the TNT champion. The others are always involved in major stuff. And they have four guys below them that are still major factors on television that will be elevated at some point. Like, the depth is just...
It's never been like this, brother. I'm telling you, like, people can get mad, but it's the truth. This is a roster of over 100 people, and a lot of them matter. And a lot of them are given time on the A show. We sometimes joke, and I think it's a fair thing that, like, not all of the guys get enough wins on TV, but they're often present on TV. How many guys of any kind of relevance do we not see on Dynamite, you know, ever? Like, it's very, very rare. Very rare. Again, with the women, sometimes they could do a better job. But they've even got better at, like, keeping those, you know, with pre-tapes and with doing stuff. The level of rotation they do with that roster honestly deserves more credit because it is actually kind of like... groundbreaking is strong, but like I have no comparison for it. It's like 2016, 2017 WWE not having the brand split after they did all those call-ups and all the great NXT guys coming through, which they could have done, but they didn't, and I got why. That's a headache, but Tony Khan's living with that headache. Good luck to him the next 5 years.
He's got Mookie, you know, putting all the numbers in and everything.
Seriously, like we joke about TEW a lot. You and I are great big wrestling nerds. Like, at some point, if you have some spare time and you want to have some fun thinking about the professional wrestling, just kick around some fantasy booking scenarios of AEW, okay? Book in your head a few angles you'd like to see. And then I want you to pull up their roster page and look at how many people you didn't even think about. Because when I do this sometimes just to, like, I'll forget about guys like Miro. I'll forget about guys like Malakai. And it's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. They're all protected. It's truly... pretty staggering how well they do it. It really is something.
Man, guys might lose on television. Again, Eddie Kingston, perfect example, doesn't win these big singles matches, still very over. These younger guys, like Lee's going to eat his fair share of loss on television. Dante has eaten his fair share of loss on television. Garcia eats his fair share of losses. They're losing to big names, and wins and losses matter in AEW, everything. But if you're just on TV, spotlighted, and you're having good performances, and you just don't go out there and look like a complete moron, like, people are still going to care. As long as you're not look stupid every week, like on the other channel, people are going to continue to care about this stuff. You're right about that, the AEW TNT. I started an AEW one, and I was, like, trying to piece together, oh, what feuds do I want to do? And then I realized, like, fuck, I didn't even use, like, Christian I didn't even use
crazy.
A lot of these guys. Miro was not a guy that I had initially. Andrade was one. I was like, oh fuck, I have Andrade? What am I gonna do with him?
Yeah. And what's so interesting about it is it's like King is a really great example because the reason you said about the wins and losses, but also like what was Eddie Kingston doing in like, you know, July, August? Like he was just kind of floating around, right? He was doing Dark Elevation commentary to pop me, and you know, he was just floating around. And he's like, in two segments, he was like the hottest guy in the promotion.
Yeah.
Because of the reason you just said. So, like, what you actually have, and this is really unique, and it's going to be something we have to adjust to as fans, is, like, there aren't many guys that they're going to be able to truly fulfill the potential of. And what I mean by that is max them out. Because when you max someone out, it basically means the necessity is such that you have to push this guy through. You have no choice. AEW is in a position where, rather than that, they're going to try and get 80% out of everyone. And the show will be better for it because no one will be overexposed. Now, you could argue some are overexposed. That's fine. That's a conversation for another day. But I think that is something that's really kind of the idea that a Hangman Page will get his big arc, but there's going to be a lot of grand stories that get left on the table because they can't be told in AEW. That doesn't mean they can't use the talent, though. You're just going to have to use them differently. So there's, frankly, there's a lot of adjusting on the fans' part of, like, I just don't think. I'll be honest with you, Jeremy. I think a lot of people that watch the show still don't get how deep it is. I don't think they realize that AEW can afford to have Dax Harwood wrestle two singles matches in a year because they don't need any more than that from him. A normal professional wrestling promotion would have that dude wrestling singles matches once a month because they would need to, you know? Like, it's wild. The shit they can achieve with that roster, it's like, it's quite frightening, to be honest with you.
I mean, when we were talking about Dynamite and you were mentioning all the matches, like they didn't have MJF and Darby. They did the video package for them last night. Like mm-hmm. There really wasn't, they did the big go home angle, but a lot of the build for these matches were just, yeah. Hey, here's a pre-tape. Here's a backstage segment. That's it. Like they didn't need to just throw all these guys out there and like hit you over the head. And this has been another complaint of mine when it comes to AEW. It's like, oh, it's go home show week. Let's do the big closing brawl with 20 yeah. different people in it. Cause that's what they like to do. Like outside of the inner circle stuff. And then the main event segment, it was just a lot of, hey, here's guys that like Danielson and Miro, they're going to wrestle. Miro did a pre-tape. Danielson just did an off yeah. match. They don't have to hit you over the head with this kind of stuff. And they can right. afford to just, here's Leo Rush teaming with Dante Barton against Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal. Like,
yeah, they're getting better at it, man. In the last year, they've got better at these builds and like they're figuring stuff out as they go, which is exciting as a fan. I think like, you know, Dave mentioned in the chat, and this is the perfect example before we bring Bob on. But obviously, all of us, you know, Mox, that's our dude. We love John Moxley. Wish him nothing but the best. That's the man right there. But
yes.
It speaks such volumes that he pulls out of that tournament to do much more important things. And they're like, yeah, we'll just put Miro in. It's like, brother, Miro might be the best heel in professional wrestling. Like, that's a level of depth that's just spectacular.
The thing is, they could have slotted Miro obviously made the most sense, but like
yeah.
beforehand, like Malakai didn't have a match on the card.
Yes.
Andrade didn't have a match on the card. You could have easily just slotted him in there mm-hmm. and been like, oh yeah, this makes sense. These guys have been winning. It works. Like, yeah, it's kind of unfair.
It is.
It's not like nuts. It is unfair because it should have
been earned. Yeah.
But it's not because, you know, the other company has done these things and this is what they've ended up with. So.
Yeah. There are people that will honestly do the comparison about Holden talent. And it's like, brother, you do not watch their show if you think that. Cause they get something out of just about everyone.
Yeah.
And look, we don't need to speculate, but there's going to be more guys added in the next few months.
We did enough of that earlier.
Right.
Exactly. And Steen are coming in. So.
Yeah. There's some people coming in and it's like the rich get richer, I guess. And again, good. They deserve it because they're doing the right thing by these talent on TV. So you can't knock it. Here it comes. History pilot.
Robert O'Neill is here. Hello, Robert O'Neill.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. Sorry, you've been hanging out backstage for the last 11 minutes doing your pregame stretches. I saw. Making sure you stay hydrated.
Yeah. He did make us wait, to be fair. He nearly canceled the show because of
Bob. You were very late to get on the show for the cold open.
Yeah. Well, you know, it worked out.
Did it?
You did a very good job.
Wait, did Bob just respond to allegations that he was late by saying, "Will it worked out?"
I was late, though. That is correct. I thought I had more time than I did.
O'Neill, do you know what you're doing today?
Yeah, I got a couple things to talk about.
All right, very scared. You ready?
Yeah. History final. Yeah, so I think we're going to start off with the NBA Eastern Conference leading Chicago Bulls. You know, they came on this show before the season, and I said, you know, maybe they'll miss the play-in. I think they're top four good now. I think they're going to get a top four seed in the East. And, you know, big thing is, like, who's going to play defense? Alex Caruso. Just defensive marvel, gets, like, five steals a game now. You know, the depth is taking a little bit of a hit because Patrick Williams is done for the year, and Nikola Vucevic got COVID from Joel Embiid, so... That's not ideal, but yeah, they've been good, man. They've been fun to watch. It's nice to have a team that I enjoy that is actually good and doesn't disappoint me on a regular basis. Jeremy, just real quick, are you wearing a Greg Olsen jersey?
No, this is a custom Lambert
jersey. Oh, yeah, you said that the other day. You have, yeah, that for your team. That's cool.
Okay. I have a game to play with you, Bob O'Neill.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if I'll buy that top four thing.
I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, I think the Nets are going to figure it out, but James Harden looks bad. And I don't think they're going to have Kyrie at any point.
So, if the Chicago Bulls get a top four seed in the Eastern Conference, I will do the corner three that week, and you will once again host the show.
Deal.
Wait.
No, hang on. That's not fair. That's wrong. Jeremy Lambert can do the corner three, and I will have to host the show with Bob O'Neill. Is that better? No, that seems more fair. I don't want to put the omen on Jeremy.
That's fine.
Bob?
Yeah, that's fair.
What happens if they don't get a top four seed?
Bob's just off the show. The corner three is canceled for that week. I'm looking here. Look, the Bucks are not going to be 500 the whole season.
No, they're going to be fine. They're going to improve. You know, the Sixers will – they'll be fine. But it's the Nets that I just don't see anything with. You know, Durant's good, but Harden – Since they changed the rule, where
Durant's good.
Yeah, I obviously.
Dude, he just came on here and got fired up at Alex Caruso. Says, "Yeah, Kevin Durant's all right. He's fine."
I love Kevin Durant, but yeah, since they changed the rule where you can't initiate the contact, Harden's look bad. You know, and the Sixers, like I said, will figure it out, and then that leaves a spot for the Bulls. I don't think I'm forgetting any like East powerhouse, right? So
Miami Heat.
Oh, yeah, they'll be up there too. That's my thing. I think the Bulls can get the four, but I think they're going to
avoid
a play-in. And that's what I was kind of looking for all year. And, you know, Lonzo's good. The Lakers probably should have taught him to shoot at some point. Yeah, it's been fun, man. And that's all I'm looking for. You know, the big finals preview against the Warriors tomorrow night. Get the Lakers, get the Clippers coming up. So, yeah, Chicago Bulls. Catch the
fever. In all seriousness, I actually think, like, that top four thing is like a real thing. Like I could see it either way. They're better than I thought they'd be. That's what I was saying. Can you bring Bob back, please?
Nah, he'll be on the post show.
Okay, good. That's a good idea.
I think. I don't know. O'Neill, not if you're going to be on the post show.
I'm now intrigued if you like, if you want the Bulls to be top four or not, to see me have to host the show, Bob O'Neill.
I truthfully, like, I don't care. Either way, like if you have to host the show with O'Neill, great. I'll do the corner three. And if things continue and O'Neill just the corner three gets pulled and we find a special replacement for him, then fine. Like I'm fine with it either way.
God, that'd be incredible because you'd be like executive producer. Like I would do it as such that you're still starting and ending the stream.
I did do that last week for the Evolution show. And a lot of behind the scenes drama going on with that.
Oh. I don't know. What do you think? Top four? That's interesting.
I'm with you on the Bucks. They're definitely top four. The Sixers, they're still looking good even without Simmons, and Simmons returns or whatever the return is for Simmons. Imagine that'll be good. Miami, I still like Miami overall. I think Butler missed part of last night's game. I don't know if he got injured or what happened there, but I know he only played like 12 minutes. And then, so that's a little concerning if they don't have him, but I could it might just be something that I don't know is going on. The Nets, Harden will figure it out. I'm laughing at how much, like, he's kind of struggling. He's been playing better as of late, but I am laughing that like the rule change is affecting like him and Lillard so much. Like it's tremendous for me that this is happening. It's close. I don't necessarily trust a Billy Donovan led team either.
See, like, this is the thing.
My other thing.
I think we all agree, and if Bob's been honest with us, he would too, that like as a playoff contender, I'm taking the Heat every time for that team.
Yeah.
But the seeding, that's different things. Like I think he's got a real shot at them being a top four.
The Knicks aren't bad this year. Like they
factual
could get there. I feel like Atlanta's got a move to make that kind of Trey's another guy who's like kind of struggling with the rule changes. I feel like they've got a move to make that might catapult
them. Yeah, they're interesting. I didn't even think of them, man.
Yeah.
They haunted me last year. Yeah.
It's gonna be tough.
It'll be interesting. There's a lot of good teams actually. The more you talk about it, like it's yeah, Bob was very bullish there. He could have made a fool of himself. We'll see.
I'll do the corner three. I'll talk about the great Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey.
Just Woody pre-booking a segment that will air in April. You're just like, I'm going to talk about this.
There you go. For a team that's definitely not making the playoffs. Just
God bless.
Praise man. Them.
Season review for the OKC.
All right, everybody, we are going to head over to youtube.com/FightfulDistraction for the post show. We'll continue to talk about the NBA. I will talk about, since people asked about my jersey, I'll talk about Cam Newton's return to the Panthers. Joseph's very fired up about that, I know for sure. And we'll keep talking some wrestling, plenty of wrestling to talk about. O'Neal will be there. You never know who's going to run in on that show. Head over there, youtube.com/FightfulDistraction. Joseph, plug stuff.
LateNightGrin.com for all your grins. You can sign up for just $1 and tune in about 2 hours, Jeremy, when we go live to book Texas Wrestling Federation. I'll be there as sort of a... Yeah, Jeremy will be there too. That's about it. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy AEW Full Gear at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on BR Live or Fight TV internationally. Tune into AEW Rampage at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on TNT 2. I'm a big fan. We're at a point now where I do that and you don't even react to me. You're just like,
it's part of the plugs.
Yeah. LateNightGrin.com. That's the plug. There you go.
On this channel, youtube.com/Fightful. Tomorrow, SmackDown show, post-SmackDown, post-AEW Rampage. Sean will be in Minnesota for Full Gear. SmackDown Rampage show will be hosted by TK Trinidad and Kate Hensler. Full Gear post show will be myself, Will Washington of Grapsody, and Alex Pulowski of Sour Graps and Post NXT. Grapsody at noon on Saturday. I believe it'll be Reg, Phil, and Andrew Thompson, because Will has things to do in the afternoon. That's why he's going to be joining me for the
Andrew Thompson is a piece of shit.
He'll say that about Andrew.
I love him. He's so great.
He's tremendous. So everybody, plenty of content coming up over the next couple of days. You can also go to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We'll be gaming tomorrow and Saturday. So we got plenty of shit. All right. Plenty of shit. Everyone take care. YouTube.com/FightfulDistraction. We'll see you over there in just a couple minutes.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.